on today's Compassion Radio.
We're working in Sudan, and it happens to be going crazy right now, and we're finding it more and more difficult to operate there effectively. But we're not quitting just because it got tough. We're still going to be there, still working, still trying to get there on the ground and see the gospel go forth.
Intrepid.
When God tells you to go, then everything works out. He provides.
Involved.
It is so exciting to see what God can do, and this is why there is so much hope.
International.
Compassion Radio allows the listener to get involved in projects that are going to change history.
This is Compassion Radio.
Tracking the triumph of God in every nation on earth. Hello, friends. Happy New Year. And thanks so much for joining us on this Wednesday edition of Compassion Radio as we kick off 2017. Today's conversation is an overflow of a great discussion we got started yesterday between Bram Floria and Ed Weaver of T4 Global International. So much great material that we had to add in a second day. So if you can stick with us the next 25 minutes, I guarantee it'll be time well spent. Let's dive in right now for part two of When the Going Gets Tough, the Kingdom Gets Growing. Bram?
Back for second day in Compassion Radio is our friend Ed Weaver of T4 Global International. Based in Dallas, Texas, they have a team of about 16 people based here in the States that prepare and go and do the very things that we've been so passionate about for all the years that we've been at Compassion Radio. Ed, welcome back to Compassion Radio.
Thank you, Bram. Glad to be back with you.
Yesterday, we talked a little bit about one country that has been a real hot spot that was not expected to be one this year. That was India. Because the politics shifted so quickly, it became a real contesting point for the gospel in competition with other religions, that the pressure has been not just unexpected, but unprecedented in its force. And it's been tough for the churches and the missionaries throughout the country. But it's also a country that is booming and the church is growing. And I think God seems to be putting the screws to the country to say, it's time for you to take responsibility for yourselves. Raise up your leaders, because I'm shutting the door to the outside for right now. That seems what's happening there. Is that really the case?
Well, I think that is the case. I've engaged with some folks who said, you know, India is not really a hot spot for us anymore because it's 6 to 7% Christian. And so we believe the church should be able to handle it from here on. They really don't need our help anymore. You know, at
that's
some
a tough
level,
saying
that's
right
true.
There.
You know, that's, in the South, that may very, very well be true. But up in the North, it's still incredibly unreached.
Yeah.
And so I think there is a lot of help that's still necessary. But yeah, there's, I do think, you know, as we have seen in China, over the last years, it really shut down. And there's been a lot of growth of the church there. And we've had exciting reports out of there, even though it's still very tenuous. I do think many of the same types of things will happen in India.
Mm.
Interestingly enough, you know, they're both over a billion in terms of overall population. Isn't it interesting that the same kind of apparent strategy, if you will, by God and his sovereignty seems to be a parallel track there?
Yeah, it does. And we've been very pleased and gratified that our listeners over the past 20 or 30 years have been very active with us in those very countries. We've been very purposeful in getting Bibles to these countries and pastoral training through many of our projects that we sponsored throughout the years. And we'll continue to do that. And we've always warned the people that this may be the only year where the window is truly open enough for us to get the Bibles in or to get pastors to the front lines or whatever from our impact on the outside. But there's plenty of stuff happening on the inside. So if God does shut that window for us here, we'll move on to where he opens the windows for us. And you've talked a little bit in our conversation before we began recording about another hotspot that just doesn't seem to go away. It's kind of like an old sore in Africa. I want to talk about South Sudan with you for a few minutes.
Sure.
What's happening there that should have happened, and what is actually happening as a result of the ongoing conflicts there? And how is the church responding to that in South Sudan?
Well, Bram, it's really turning into be a pretty confusing situation. I think, historically, as South Sudan became a new country, we always considered the north to be the Muslim, non-Christian, hard-to-reach place, and we considered to be the south to be wide open to the gospel. Hmm. It was Christian. And so everything was going to be calm. Well, Shortly after its creation as a country, we began to see that there was opposition there almost from the beginning. And that has gotten increasingly worse. Well, what has made things, it may have been just normal and expected amongst the South Sudanese, but it certainly has been an incredible surprise to us in the West to see this really a brand new country that seems to be crumbling. It's got all of the resources. I mean, North Sudan was complaining that South Sudan was going to end up with all the oil. They were going to end up with all the natural resources, all the money, and they were going to be the ones starving to death. And the South ends up being, we've got all the resources, but we can't be good stewards of it, and we're going to fall apart in the process.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just almost been ridiculous. Well, now it's bordering on genocide. I mean, there are, I even got a message this morning that this is apparently a pre-Rwandan genocide that's getting ready to come upon the people of South Sudan. I read over the weekend of a couple who was caught literally in a crossfire between the warring parties as missionaries, and they were, you know, literally dodging bullets. So I'm just sitting here looking at this going, what in the world has happened, and how did we miss that? How did we not see that this was such a fragile environment, and we're all acting surprised, and it seems like maybe we shouldn't have been. Were we just all that naive? And that really frightens me, because if, in fact, these countries are just almost at a boiling point, and we don't even begin to recognize the problem until it starts boiling over, then we really are naive. We're really making some judgment calls that are inappropriate, or, you know, lacking insight, wisdom, due diligence, whatever you want to call it. We're really missing some things on a large scale.
That's an important admission to make, Ed. I think the word fragile is important for us to contemplate for a second, because that gives the idea of brittleness, and that we are somehow counting on a political solution to make the gospel possible in countries and become transforming that way. Like, we're waiting for the world to get its act in order so that the church can then do its work. And this is a, I think, a fine example, as has been Rwanda in the past, of how we've depended so much on the works of men to make it possible for God to do his work. And and we wait for that to happen, and we make the mistake of not taking the opportunity. I know that that Canon Andrew White in Iraq has often said, don't take care, take risks. I mean, where else are you going to find God? And he makes that one of his cause celeb. Do not live a life of care. Live a life of risks if you really want to see God do his thing. And that does not mean being outrageously adrenaline junkie stupid out there in the world.
Right.
It means being willing to say yes to God when all the other indicators are no, no, no. And I've seen, from what I've read of some of the reports of your people, you're those kind of risk takers, the T4 Global. You're doing very cautious and prayerful and deliberate work in countries. So what's happening now with the gospel in South Sudan to answer this crisis that's political and military?
Well, that situation is so fluid. We've found it very difficult to work there. It's been very difficult to get visas approved to come into the country. So once again, much like India, we've had to really rely on our local leaders to provide, you know, the opportunity to move forward. Now, the challenge for us has been is that we didn't have as much of a runway, if you will, to really build up that leadership well and have it firmly established before things really began to fall apart. So we're even a little bit of a fragile situation there. But what we've tried to do is find leaders that, regardless of the fact that the people that they're surrounded by, whether they're in a refugee camp or whether they're in a city that's really in a very fragile environment, they are caring for people. They're making sure their families are safe. They're making sure that the life is intact for the people that they're ministering to. At the same time, they're also making sure that they're communicating stories, songs, dramas as they can with their disciples that are then, you know, subsequently making additional disciples. We find in those cases, though, naturally, there's no great surprise to anybody, that movement is a little slower just because you're you're spending so much time trying to figure out how to make it to the next day, the first thing that comes to your mind isn't necessarily, okay, am I spending enough time making disciples today? Mm-hmm. You know, no, I'm actually trying to figure out a way to survive so that I can make disciples. So we really are walking hand in hand with them as gingerly as possible, encouraging them the best we can, providing the resources they need, you know, in order to be able to do ministry when they can. But we also recognize and we communicate that well with our donors. Hey, this plan may not happen as quickly as we had originally intended, just from the sheer realities of life in South Sudan that has caught us all by surprise.
We have, as a ministry, communicating the truth of the gospel in all these different war zones and refugee camps throughout the world, or in places like India and South Sudan, who are under increased persecution. It's difficult for us as a communication ministry to get that across to our listeners and givers as well, that we're in the long play here. This may not pay off with numbers you can put in your thermometer on your church wall this year, but we are investing in the kingdom. And I do truly believe, and we've seen it ourselves, that the gospel will advance and that the seed that God has us plant never comes up empty and void. The crop will always come. The question is how long it takes for the watering and the nurturing of those plants to yield the fruit. Sometimes it comes rushing forth very fast. Like, for example, we have friends down in Ethiopia that last year stumbled into opportunities to help sponsor a revival right there in the middle of the country, right at the time that the anti-Christian violence was ramping up in the capital. So God provided a window there for a new movement, a new revival to happen in their city before the opposition arrived, which it did very quickly. But the nugget was there and the church was planted and it's alive. And I know that God plans to grow his crop his way, and sometimes we get very tired of watering the same plant over and over again. But it seems like God is always very careful with his crop.
Well, Bram, you're bringing up some interesting points, and one of the things I want to remind myself of and all of us together is that God is sovereign, and at the end of the day, he doesn't need us to get his job done. He knows exactly when his job is going to be done. He knows exactly how it's going to transpire. And probably the challenges that we run into, and particularly here in the West, is we want to control things. You know, I often bring a caveat into some of my conversations, either with my team or with friends of mine that are ministry-minded. I said, look, for those of us that are control freaks, let's consider this, because I am a control freak and I do want to make sure that I'm doing all the right things and I plan things out and I want to make sure that I leave as little as possible to the unknown.
Yes.
And God uses these kind of circumstances to remind me, hey, Ed, this is not your ministry. This is mine. And yes. I'm in charge and you need to chill out. And when I need you to wait on me, I need you to wait on me. You can't make me do anything, you know, as much as you might like to think you can.
Yeah.
And so one of the things I want us to do as a ministry is I do want us to be risk takers. I want us to, and I don't mean, and to your point earlier, I don't want us to be reckless, but I want us to be bold.
Yes.
Knowing that we are following God. And that is that's not an arrogance. That's a confidence, and not in ourselves, but in God Himself. And so we can take risks that may seem to be crazy to other people, but in terms of what God's doing, we can at least have a better sense of confidence. It's Him doing it, and we're just falling behind it. So those are things that I want to make sure that we're doing. Another thing I would bring up is we don't want to hopscotch around to say, oh, there's tragedy going on in this country, so let's go minister there.
Mm-hmm.
No, we're going to be ministering in countries that we believe God has called us to.
Amen to that.
If there's a hot spot that gets brought up, you know, if the attention level gets brought up, then we're already there and we're working. I mean, if you think about even Haiti with the earthquake a few years back, you know, there's a lot of people that just woke up one day and decided they were doing ministry in Haiti.
Yeah.
We would say, look, we weren't there. We don't have any relationships on the ground. That's not that place that's really high in terms of illiteracy. That's not a strategic country for us, and so we won't be there. But we certainly are praying for and thankful for the people that are called to work there.
Yes.
And they're already doing work there and had relationships that we would have had to build from scratch.
Yeah.
So we let them go ahead and go, and God bless them as they go do that work. We're not going to be the ones that are the ambulance chasers, for lack of a better term. And I don't mean to talk down about any other ministry.
No,
I'm just saying, in terms of our ministry, what we're called to do,
yes,
we're going to be in these places. We were working in northern Nigeria before Boko Haram, you know, showed its ugly head.
Yeah.
You know, we're working in Sudan, and it happens to be going crazy right now, and mm-hmm. we're finding it more and more difficult to operate there effectively. But we're not quitting
yes.
just because it got tough. We're
Amen
still going to be there, still working, still trying to get there on the ground and see the gospel go forth.
We, as a communications ministry, are often asked to go where the latest headline leads. So if it's a bleed that leads kind of a story, they want us there to tell the story. And we often do. But there are times when we have to make that very hard decision to say no. There are others more qualified and more capable of getting that story out and getting the needs addressed than we can. So we have to pass, because God is, in fact, directing us this way. It may not make a lot of sense right now, but we're going to keep focusing on the thing that nobody else will focus on, because we believe that God's put that story in our hearts and in the hearts of our listeners to pay attention to things that others will not. So sometimes we have to turn our eyes away from the bright lights of the news that we would normally look at and look at the other story
right.
that God's writing in the hearts and lives of people right next to maybe this disaster. But God's got his own light, and he is directing
yeah.
his people prayerfully to go after those things. And I want to mention that too. We didn't talk about it last program, but I want to say that we have an effective tool no matter what the situation is, and that's prayer. And we are absolutely committed to the power of that, not just because we want to ask God for stuff and intercede for things, but to experience him, which gives us faith and courage to actually pray more bold prayers. And I'd like you, Ed, if you could speak to that. What have you learned about prayer and the power of it through your experiences out there training pastors and learning from them?
Well, I think, Bram, one of the things that I'm continuing to learn about prayer as I get older is prayer is not an ATM machine.
No, it's not.
You know, and we oftentimes think of it that way. We wouldn't necessarily admit it, but we often do. And so what I'm really trying to think through is, what does Scripture really teach us about prayer? Well, you know, Jesus said, you know, pray according to my will, and I'll do anything according to my will. Well, we kind of leave that part out.
We're going
to say, well, okay, God answers all my prayers, and he's going to answer them all the way I want him to. Well, no, there was a little bit of a caveat there. There's a little bit of a qualification that says, according to my will. And then I will do anything.
And it's not really a caveat. It's a tough phrase to use, because we're not talking about a catch, like some sort of fine print at the bottom of the contract. Like he's trying to get out of honoring his own prayers or prayers to him. We're talking
right.
about an opportunity to tap into something that's deeper than what we would normally expect as an answer to prayer.
Right. And I only use those terms just as a warning to myself and anybody that's
yeah.
listening. You know, I'm just trying to admit how I normally think of that.
Yeah.
And yet what you're saying is exactly right. God has something much greater than what we could anticipate in mind. And if we would trust that his will is so much better than ours, then we would have a hope that's much stronger, much more powerful, and would encourage us to pray. I'll give you an example as prayer has related to this ministry. In 2006, I had started my own ministry, my own 501c3, and I had seen that I was going to be held accountable for the effectiveness of the ministry, even though my ministry at that point essentially was delivering technological devices to other ministries.
Mm-hmm.
But I was going to be held to be accountable for the success of their ministry. So I thought, well, if that's the case, then I want to be able to control more of the content so that I can ensure impact. So I prayed that the Lord would bring people to come to work for me in order to produce those recordings. And in God's sense of humor, his answer was, he brought me to T4 Global.
Mm.
He gave me an executive position and two board seats with T4 Global. And so instead of me being the boss, I now all of a sudden was an employee again, working for somebody else, according to somebody else's standards, not my own.
Yes.
And I was sitting there chuckling, okay, Lord, that wasn't the answer to prayer. Wasn't the prayer I was asking for. Well, okay, fast forward to today. You mentioned earlier that we've got a staff of over 30 worldwide. At the time, in 2006, I was working by myself.
Yes. I remember those days, Ed. We had plenty of conversations about what do you do with your time? It was everything.
Exactly. And here we are 10 years later, and we've got a staff of 30 that's working full-time with us, and then we have hundreds of people that are on a temporary contract basis with us that are actually producing recordings. So God answered that prayer because it was according to his will, but it happened in a completely different way than I would have ever dreamed, and my prayer got answered. But we've got to align ourselves with the will of God. So when we say, God, give us the opportunity, the wisdom, the insight to get to this unreached people group, well, we know that's absolutely according to his will.
Yes.
Now, what God's will may be is he may be interested in another ministry getting to that unreached people group more than us.
And the answer is to get you out of the way sometimes.
Absolutely. And so what we've got to do is we've got to have a completely different perspective on who God is, what our trust is going to be in him. When we aren't able to go into a particular country or into a particular people group, are we going to say, well, God's not answering my prayers? No. Mm-hmm. What we need to say is, okay, God, what are you doing? How are you moving? And how can I exhibit my faith and trust in you? Because you are God, you are sovereign, you are perfect. There is nothing that you do that is a mistake.
No.
How do I look at things differently? So prayer shapes my walk with the Lord today in a way that I didn't understand 10 years ago.
Ed, there are no denominations or barriers in foxholes or prayer closets, and we're in both. And you guys have seen it in the front lines. You know what happens when the church comes together on purpose to be available to God on the front lines. We are on the front lines. Whether or not we step our foot into South Sudan or not, if we take seriously the responsibility to pray and to ask what God would have us do, that we're in it. We're in the fight. And I'm glad for that. And I'm very grateful for our listeners out there that have been with us in that fight for many years. And new listeners that are coming online even in this new year of 2017. Thank you so much, friends, for becoming part of our family. Ed, I'm going to ask you to give us a benediction of prayer and pray over those listeners out there for Compassion Radio, if you would, as God gives us new vision and new hope for this coming year.
Thank you, Bram, for that opportunity. Lord, we just turn our eyes to you as we look to a new year. Father, I pray that you give us fresh eyes to look past our own opinions, even our own weaknesses or our own strengths, Father, that you point us to you. You keep our eyes on you and keep our eyes off of the bumps in the road. Let us look for ways that we can be unified together as followers of you. May you give us a greater compassion for those around us that, you know, I think of C.S. Lewis and his comment about, you know, we should be thinking of ourselves less. And so how can we think of ourselves less and think of you more, think of others more, and be willing to serve one another for your glory, Father? Many times we're individually trying to seek the credit. As organizations we are, as churches we are, individually we are, and yet you are the one that receives all the glory. And so may we actively and proactively look to give you the glory in anticipation that there will always be a war, that Satan will always be trying to get us to take the credit, even if it's just a little bit, we want for ourselves. Father, may we always be looking to give that all to you. We thank you for this opportunity to talk about what you're doing and how you are moving forward in this world. And even with the chaos around us, Father, you are moving forward and making progress to see your will be done on this earth as it is in heaven. We praise you for that, and we thank you for allowing us to serve you. Father, it's for your glory. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Amen and amen. Friends, I hope you've heard some encouraging and important words from Ed Weaver today. He's a man that exemplifies for us the very virtues of what it means to be committed and faithful and humble in the pursuit of the kingdom of God. He's been on the front lines to see what's happening in all those places where the gospel is advancing in ways we couldn't even imagine. but he's bringing us those stories. I hope, Ed, that you'll bring us back more throughout this year as we clock in with you and see what God's been doing.
I'd be happy to do that, Bram. Appreciate the opportunity.
Ed Weaver, T4 Global International, thank you, friend, for being with us on Compassion Radio.
Friends like you make this ministry possible. This month, with your gift of $20 or more, we'd be thrilled to send you a very special lapel pin or car magnet reminding you and others to pray for our troops. It's all part of our January Soldiers Bible Project, our New Year's effort to get Bibles into the hands of our servicemen and women who are hungry for God's Word. Each Bible can be placed into the hands of a seeker for $20. Add an additional gift of $20 or more for the lapel pin or car magnet reminder to pray for our troops. Reach us toll-free at 1-800-868-2478. That's 1-800-868-2478. Or you can give securely online at CompassionRadio.com. I'm Jim Governale. On behalf of Norm and Cher Nelson, Bram Floria, and the entire Compassion Radio team, we'll see you again tomorrow for the next edition of Compassion Radio.